Well, good morning. What a great day to be able to worship the Lord. And once again, we're so glad that you were able to join us. And we hope that the Lord is stirring and moving your heart and life. And just so much to praise the Lord for. We serve an awesome God. Absolutely serve an awesome God. And so just a couple things here this morning before we get into the message that we want to share with you this morning. Here in Valentine's Day, as you know, we're moving into the Lent season and be thinking about Easter before too much longer. And next Sunday morning will be our Ashes and Communion service. It's going to be a little different than it has been in the past due to scenarios with COVID and social distancing and all that. But we're still going to have our Ashes and Communion service, and we're planning some great things. And we want you to be part of that next Sunday morning as we share with you in regard to Ashes and Communion. And that also means it's that time of the year to share with you the Lent Dare. We called that the Lent Challenge in the past, and we challenged you to do a couple things. And so, if you recall about this time last year, we shared a Lent Dare with you last year, and the following Sunday, we wasn't able to be in services. That was a different time, but hopefully this year, Lord willing, we'll be able to be together through Easter and our preparation through Lent. So we want to, once again, share with you for 2021, the Lent Dare. You remember growing up as a child, right? You remember that. Was you ever dared to do anything? On occasion. Was you ever double dog dared to do anything? Some of us might even been triple dog dare. That was a serious matter when you get a triple dog dare, and maybe some of us rose to that occasion, and maybe some of us didn't, and you don't have to tell those stories. Boy, I have some stories, but we're not going to share those with you this morning. But actually, I do. I just don't want to dare you this morning. I don't want to double dare you. I want to triple dog dare you to accept the Lent Dare. You're going to find in your bulletin this morning when you come in a sheet that looks just like this. And at the top it says 2021 Lent Dare. And so I triple dog dare you to give up something you enjoy over the next 6 weeks before Easter. Give up something you enjoy. Not your children or your husband or wife or any of those, but you know, chocolate, coffee, steak. Any of those types of things. Something that you enjoy. I dare you to fast one day during the week in the next 6 weeks. Dare you to read the crucifixion and resurrection accounts in the Bible. You'll find those, of course, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I dare you to pray for God to give you and someone else a powerful Easter experience. And then invite that person to our Easter services. And then the last dare is to spend an extra 10 minutes of quiet time with God. I believe if we accept this dare, that the Lord can do something meaningful and transforming in our heart and life in this Easter season. And so I triple dog dare you. I'll check up with you next week and see how that dare is going. I believe God can do some amazing things and can stir and move and work in us like none other. And what a wonderful time of the year to do that as we begin to prepare for the Easter season. I hope you accept the dare this morning. And then also, I just need to see the church board for just a couple moments after the service this morning. We would certainly appreciate that. There's probably not a better day than today to talk about the love of God, considering it's Valentine's Day. And I certainly hope that none of you guys or gals have forgotten that today is Valentine's Day. It's for some, it's a pretty special day. And I'm sure you'll recognize that and let those around you that you love know how much you appreciate and love them. But after all, God is the ultimate Valentine, and so I think it'd be appropriate to talk about God's love. Because love is a powerful thing. If you haven't already figured that out by now, you'll figure that out pretty quickly. Love is a powerful thing. And we could spend a lot of time talking about just love in general, but God's love is just so amazing. And so love is a powerful thing, but the love of God is everything. And so we're going to take some time this morning. We're going to share with you in regard to the love of God. But as I thought about love and Valentine's Day, I couldn't help but think about the five great loves in my life. You probably know what a couple of them are. Of course, fishing. You all love fishing, right? Yep, yep, some of you do. Yeah. My car, not my current car. I like my current car, but at one time in my life, I owned the ultimate car, and I loved that car. You've heard about this car before. It was a 1971 Oldsmobile Cutlass, one of my absolute favorite cars, and it was even one of my favorite colors. It was green. Loved that car. My ultimate car would be a 69 Herstal's white and gold. Probably never have that, but that's okay. But that 71, I loved that car. In fact, it was over that car that one of the other great loves of my life had our first disagreement. I remember pulling up in the driveway at Becky's mom and dad's, where Becky was living, of course. That was supposed to be funny. But anyway, I pull up there and she comes running out of the house and jumps up on the hood and slides across the car. I do want you to note, however, you will not find a 71 green Cutlass in my driveway. But in my life, you will find one of the greatest loves of my life, and that's Becky. And so I didn't take her out that day. And then, of course, I love my children. But above all that, fishing, my favorite car, my beautiful wife, and my children is the Lord. There is no love greater than the love of the Lord. And I want you to know this morning, as we're thinking about the love of God, there is nobody today loves you more on this Valentine's Day than God. All of you here and all of you out there, nobody loves you more than God. And so as we think about the love of God this morning, I'd like to draw our attention to John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And many of us probably have John 3:16 committed to memory. But it really does speak to us so powerfully about the love of God. And so let's take our Bibles. Let's turn over this morning, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Appreciate if you would stand with us this morning as we come to the Word. And there John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 share with us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, thank You once again for the opportunity to join with You in worship today. We ask that once again that You would come and that You would flow over us and that You would stir our heart and mind, and that we just would genuinely and thoroughly experience You and Your love today as we come to Your Word, and that Your Word today would speak so powerfully to us in regard to Your love, and that we would recognize today that nobody loves us like You love us. And so, Lord, we just ask that You would just come on the scene and that You would move, Lord, in such a powerful and life-transforming way. And so, Lord, we need Your touch this morning. We want You to again seek the anointing that allows us to preach the Word. We need Your touch, Lord. Desire to be used of You to share Your Word with Your people. And so, Lord, we ask for Your touch this morning. We ask in Your name. Amen. may be seated this morning. As we think about the love of God, there's a few things, in fact, four things that I want us to notice in regard to the love of God here in John 3:16. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of separate that out a little bit. I hate to use the word dissect, but that's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to look at four sections this morning of John 3:16 to understand what I believe is some very powerful things in regard to the love of God. And so the first thing I'd like for us to look at this morning is these three words: God so loved. God so loved. Make no mistake this morning that God is in the love business. Has been and always will be. Make no mistake about it this morning. I've already said it to you. God loves you. God has loved you. God will love you. God is loving you because God so loved. And so as we think about this concept of God and His love, I couldn't help but think about the song that we sang earlier this morning entitled The Love of God, because when you begin to think about the love of God, it's almost indescribable. I mean, we can talk about the love of God for a lengthy period of time, and we can say that, you know, when we think about the love of God, that there's just so much that we could say about it, and Scripture defines it for us to some degree. But when we genuinely begin to think about the love of God, it's almost indescribable, because you can talk about it, and you can talk about it, and you can ponder it, and you can ponder it, and you can think about it, and you can think about it, and you can experience it, and you can express it, and so on, the list goes. It's almost indescribable. But I think the songwriter, Frederick Laham, does an excellent job as he talks about the love of God. And I just want to refresh our mind this morning as he writes, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When the years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song." And all verse 3 so powerfully shares with us. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God is almost indescribable. It's so powerful and so wonderful and so amazing. But the beautiful thing in regard to this concept that God so loved, we may not be able to completely describe the love of God, but we can experience the love of God because God so loved. And so as we think about this love of God and the fact that God did love, consider the plan of salvation, if you would. Even from the beginning of creation, God loved. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 shares with us, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." And of course, if you go there to Peter, Peter's talking about Jesus. And he's talking about the sacrifice, the plan of salvation. Even before the foundations of the world, God had this concept of the plan of salvation because God so loved. I'm a word guy. And so, I don't know if it's odd things, but things come to my mind sometimes, and I was wondering, when you think about John 3:16, and you would pick out some key words, you would probably never pick so out of John 3:16 as a key word. It could have said, for God loved the world. But it says, for God so loved the world. And curiosity was just eating me up. What's the so all about? And so I had to dig in there a little bit. And you know what I found out? The word so is used to make the connection of relationship. So is all about relationship. And so, when God says, for God so loved, of course, the world, and we're going to talk about the world in just a minute, it's talking about relationship between God and His love for the world. Isn't that a pretty amazing thing? So, God so loved. And so I want you to know this morning, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that God is still loving you, me, and the world, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But we'll also discover in John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 10, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 10, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. No question about that. Scripture says that God is love. And so when you define love, you cannot separate love from God. In fact, God is the creator of love. And then we also find in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loves us. So much time we could think about this morning, this concept of God so loved, and God is still loving even in these days. Has loved, will love, and will continue to love because God is love. Truth is, this morning, there's no comparison to God's love. We can talk about all the things that we love, all the things we care about, the experience of love, the warm fuzzy we get in our feeling, the butterflies we get when we find that person in our life in whom we love. But there's absolutely no comparison to God's love. It's simply almost indescribable. And so as we come to John 3:16, and we come to this concept of God's love, understand this morning, God so loved, and He is still loving today. In fact, Scripture shares with us that God so loved the world. The second thing I want us to notice this morning in John 3:16 is the world. And when we see the world in John 3:16, it's very representative of what it is that God loves. And that is everyone. That is the whole of humanity. Not only is the world His creation, the physical world that we can see, and there's some things in this physical world that I love other than fishing and my wife and my children. I love to watch the sun come up and I love to watch sunsets. There's some things that I love and so do you. There's things in this world that you love, and God does love this world. It is His creation. But above all that, He loves humanity. He loves everyone in the world. In fact, humanity is God's crowning achievement of all of creation. You can say amen right there, because that's the truth. It was His crowning achievement, humanity. In fact, He looked at it and said, it's good. We look at it today and say, ooh, it's bad. But I believe, because of the love that God has for the world, that He still looks at humanity and all its brokenness and still says it's good. Because God so loved. Everyone, the all of humanity, you, me, our neighbors. And from a Buckeye fan, even the team up north. That was tough. You football people will get that. Everyone, all of humanity, God so loved. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it shares with us, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. For God so loved, He doesn't want anybody who has ever come into this world, who will ever go out of this world, to perish. Nor does He want them to be lost, because He loves the world and loves everyone in it. For God so loved the world. And because God so loved the world, the all of humanity, I want us to recognize the third thing that John 3:16 shares with us in regard to the love of God, is because God so loved the world, He gave His Son. Talk about a declaration of love. He gave His Son. Nothing. And I do mean absolutely nothing defines love more than sacrifice. And God gave the ultimate sacrifice. His Son. Because He loved the world. Romans 5:8 shares with us, listen to this, but God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a demonstration of love. That He gave His Son. Even when we didn't love Him. It's one thing to do things for people you love. It's another thing to do something for somebody you don't love. Come on, shake your head. You know that's right. You ever been driving down the road? Somebody flies around you, cuts you off, and flies down the road. And then as you catch up with them, cops got them pulled off to the side. And you're saying, they deserve that! Right? You've never done that. Right? You've never had that thought. Anyway. But to do something, to love somebody so much, even though they don't love you, even though, to be honest, they hate you. Such a demonstration of love. God loved us and allowed His Son to die for us even when we didn't love Him. What a declaration. What a demonstration of love. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. That ought to stir your heart this morning. We also find over in John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God manifested toward us. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son manifested toward us. God loved humanity so much, He sent Jesus into the world that we might find life and live through Him. And it's not that we love God, but it's the fact that God loved us that He sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Isn't that an interesting word? Propitiation. Can we say that together? Are we going to be able to do that? Propitiation. Come on, let's do that one more time. Propitiation. You know what that means? It means substitute. God loved the world so much that He sent His Son into the world to be the substitute for sin. Now we know how Jesus became our substitute for sin. He died on the cross for us. Because sin is death. And so He sent His Son to be our substitute, to die our death. Church, that's love. That may even be love that we can't even begin to comprehend. And I've heard people say, well, Pastor, you know, lots of people have sacrificed their sons. I agree with that. The many wars that the world has encountered, yes, people have sacrificed their son. But I've never met one individual who willingly sacrificed their son. God willingly sent His Son. What a declaration of love. Love that's almost incomprehensible, but demonstrated. Because God so loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Brings us to the fourth thing that I want us to notice here in John 3:16. And that's that the believer does not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved and loved humanity so much that He does not want anyone to perish, but to have everlasting life. That's an amazing love. He doesn't want anybody to perish and for everybody to have everlasting life. Of course, there's a condition to that. And we see that in John 3:16. Whosoever believes. And so the believer does not perish, but has everlasting life because God so loved. But I want us to note this morning, it's not just any belief, but it's belief in the work of Christ. This belief is more than an intellectual agreement, but putting our trust and our confidence in Him, putting our faith in Christ. God's demonstration of love for us, His Son, Jesus. Lots of people would have an intellectual agreement of who Jesus is, but may not necessarily believe in the work of Christ in their life. And so this just isn't any belief, but it's a belief in the work of Christ. It's a belief in His coming, in His life, in His cross, in His resurrection, in His forgiveness, in His ability to transform life, in His coming again. It's belief in the work of Christ. The reason He came. Because God so loved is why He came. to be the propitiation for sin. It's believing that's why Jesus came into the world. It's believing that He lived among us and suffered as we did. It's believing that He died on a cross and shed His blood for the redemption of humanity because God so loved. It's believing that because of that act, we're able to be forgiven of our sin and experience the love and the mercy of God that we refer to as salvation. It's believing in His ability to transform our life because God so loved, we can be changed. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to have hatred and jealousy and all the things that humanity brings. We can be transformed into the image of Christ. It's about believing that He has the ability to transform us. It's about believing that He's coming again. And someday, as we shared with you in regard to glorification, that we'll be glorified and at that point have everlasting life. No longer do we have to perish because God so loved. Because God so loved the world, we have an opportunity at life. We don't have to perish, but have everlasting life. But it's a belief in the demonstration of God's love. It's a belief in Jesus Christ. There's no other love greater than that. And it's possible because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God so loves, He does not want any to perish, but to have everlasting life. We could go on and on and on about God's love. But the truth is, church, God's love is so amazing. It's indescribable. But experienceable. Today, right here, right now, in this moment, you can experience this indescribable love. Because that's so amazing. Amazing love. How can it be that my God should die for me? The chorus from "And Can It Be?" Amazing love. Every time I think about this concept of the love of God, I can't help but be amazed. Because there's still moments in my life that I look back and say, "Lord, why did You love me?" I can't give you any good reason why God would love me. I can kid myself and say, man, at one time I was a good-looking guy. Not really, but anyway. I could say that, you know, I was just a really good person. I look back at some of the things I'd done before I encountered Christ. No. I could say I deserve it. No. I could come up with any reason I want. But as I look back, there's absolutely no reason why God should have loved me. You know what? He does. In fact, He loved Mike enough. So loved Mike. He sent His only Son into the world to die at Calvary for me. You know what? This morning when you come to John 3:16, and you repeat it, do this in your mind, for God so loved that you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody out there, God said it, and He demonstrated it. And so today, right now, we can experience the love of God. And you can know this morning, even though sometimes we're unlovable, God loves us and God loved us. And no matter what happens tomorrow, 6-12 inches of snow, God will still love us. No matter what's going on in your life right now, God loves you. And God has demonstrated His love for you. But above all, God wants you to experience His love. And so as we begin to come to a close this morning, I want us to note John 3:17. We often memorize John 3:16 and often forget about John 3:17, but I want you to know that John 3:16 is all about John 3:17. This love that we've talked about this morning is all about John 3:17 that says with us, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." Many people think that, and that's absolutely not true, but that the world through Him might be saved. The love of God is all about the redemption of humanity. Because God so loved. What a declaration of love. The important question this morning is not necessarily if we completely understand the love of God. Because the truth is, we will probably never in this life completely understand the love of God. The real question is this morning, is have you experienced the love of God in your life? And I want you to know this morning, this love of God goes beyond salvation, goes beyond that moment we've asked for forgiveness. It even goes beyond that concept of sanctification. It even goes beyond the concept of glorification and everlasting life. For God so loved. And He wants you right here, right now, in this moment, to experience the love of God. And I hope that's exactly what's happening in your life right now. If you've not experienced the love of God, you can. You can. Whoever believes the work of Christ, the experience of the love of God. Let's stand together. This morning the praise team is going to come. And they're going to share with us this morning what I believe is a powerful song. I hope that it speaks to your heart this morning. And I want us to ask ourselves this morning, so clearly, am I experiencing the love of God? If not, it's time you do. There's nothing better